But there is a trial that not just the United States, but I would argue the world is watching. Paul Violas is a law enforcement and security analyst for CBS News. The Derek Chauvin trial is happening in Minneapolis as we speak, and Paul's good enough to come on with us and speak to it. Paul, good to have you on News and Views.
Pleasure to join you, Joel.
Talk to me about the first couple of days here, what you're seeing in this trial.
I think they came out of the box strong and fast, and the defense surprised an awful lot of people by laying all the cards on the table early on. Specifically, they went and were very specific to the jury in their opening arguments by talking about they want and will show what the actual cause of death was. Now, bear in mind, I know that everyone saw the video and it was excruciating. But now that we're in the prosecutorial stage, the prosecutors are going to have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Chauvin's actions caused Ford's death. Where, from the medical examiner, the information coming back is going to counter that and more than raise reasonable doubt as to whether or not it was his actions or was it his health conditions. Part two to that, the defense came right out and openly spread the board, meaning they said, all right, Chauvin, my client, did nothing more than what the state of Minnesota taught him to do with respect to use of force. They submitted the police training manual for the state of Minnesota, showing that he followed police training tactics in Minnesota. So they came out strong on that, and they put the prosecutors back on their heels.
Was there a pushback on that? Because I suspect, without knowing, that there's no instance that says you should kneel on a man's neck for 9 minutes. And that's in some manual. I mean, was the prosecutors, did they push back on that?
They didn't, as much as I thought that they would have. Now, you know, bearing in mind, Joel, over 40 years I've been in public service. My last post was I was the head of a state police academy. No reasonable thinking person will ever teach anyone to put your knee on someone's neck. Now, shoulder blades possibly while you're gaining control for a very, very short period of time. But that's only if you absolutely have to. But nonetheless, state of Minnesota approved this. So I go back to the main point of what the defense is. Defense just has to say, I have presented a reasonable doubt. This trial is not going to go the way the public wants.
So when you look at what the arguments that are being made, they put a lot of individuals that had, you know, firsthand accounts on yesterday. One of the most, to me, effective was the firefighter and what she spoke to, because there's a, you know, there's a belief, and I think accurately, that firefighters and police work very well together. And so when you hear her saying how repulsed she was by this, you know, it definitely stuck out. What I'm asking you, I guess, is how effective was that?
It really wasn't that effective. The way the defense came after her, basically saying, are you a certified police officer? No. Have you ever been trained in use of force? No. Are you trained in crowd control? No. And they really kind of cut down what she said and put it more into the emotional response category, which all of us had, but not anything that would really give the prosecution what they were looking and hoping for.
How big of a factor do emotions play? Because if you look at the individuals that testified on behalf of the prosecution yesterday, every one of them had emotional moments on the stand, except for the young guy, the child. And so when you see someone testifying and crying, for example, on the stand, how big of an effect does that have on a jury?
That does not help at all, especially when you look at Judge Cahill has cautioned the jury numerous times to focus on the facts, not the emotion. So that does not help at all. So, they need to show that that the prosecution has charged him with the right crimes.
And that was going to be the last question I was going to ask you, and I don't want to let you go yet, but let's ask it now, which is, did they overcharge him? Did they charge him with the right crimes?
They charge manslaughter is certainly going to stick. And I will tell you this, Joel, if they don't convict him on manslaughter, they better be looking for another job, because they clearly have enough physical evidence to charge him and to convict him of manslaughter. Murder two, murder three, absolutely not. They don't have it. They're not going to prove it. And all they did was set the public up for a higher level of expectation so that when the rioting starts, none of us should be surprised.
If you want to check out Paul's work, you know, he's the anchor of the daily radio segment Security Matters with Paul Violas. Paul, what about,
yes,
because this is the world you live in, where you help people with things like this, what about the security of the trial itself, with the nation's emotions kind of on their sleeve when it comes to this trial? You know, the courthouse, the other areas. I mean, here's what I'm afraid of. If it comes back and it's manslaughter and it's not murder, that the community that is so repulsed by what happened, and that, I'm not saying black, it could be black, white, it could be anyone, but the people that believe that this man should be proven guilty of murder, that they're going to react in such a way where a whole lot of security is needed out there. I mean, go ahead.
And Joel, not just there. It's going to be in every major city across the country. It's going to erupt. Intelligence reports already show that groups like BLM and Antifa plan on making their voices heard if he's not convicted of murder. And Joel, I am telling you, as God is my judge, this man is not getting convicted of murder because they don't have what they need. End of story. And the other part about this, about police preparedness, and you raise an excellent point. When you look at Minnesota and you take the fact that they have been so aggressive in defunding police, they don't have enough bodies to handle it. So you can expect the National Guard to be showing up. And then, of course, the public's going to get upset because they're going to see tanks rolling down Main Street, all of which you don't need to read the tea leaves to know this is going to happen.
So when you look at the first couple days of this trial, and obviously, you know, you don't believe that he will be convicted of murder, do you think that the defense has been put in any position whatsoever where they're going to have to put Chauvin on the stand, where he's going to have to testify?
Definitely not. I would be shocked if he did. Makes no sense. They don't have to. They don't have to.
Okay.
And that would be a foolish move at their part.
So
right now, the ball's in the prosecutor's court. But remember something too, Joel. The defense holds the golden ticket. The city already said, 27 million times, my guy's guilty. So the defense holds in their hand that they can come back and appeal any conviction or move for a mistrial. So they're holding the cards right now.
So if, in fact, that's the case, because maybe it's people's emotion, but I'm getting, Paul, you're an expert at this. I'm going to take your advice, but there are a lot of people out there that thought that the prosecution had a really good day, that they made the case. What are they missing?
They have to show beyond a reasonable doubt that the material elements of the crimes they've charged them with have in fact been committed. They haven't gone there yet. And remember, this is going to be, Joel, about two things. Cause of death, which you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt, Chauvin committed, and the use of force. And right now, the prosecution has not, in my eyes, after 40 years of service, impressed me that they've got a good case. They got an emotional case, but they sure don't have a good case.
Well, it's one of those things where everyone wants justice to be served, Paul.
Right.
But
absolutely,
this is one of those cases where I personally want justice to be served, but I also want a conviction for the sake of the country that I live in. I don't know if that makes any sense to you.
Joel, it makes total sense. Look, let me tell you something. No good cop would ever support a bad cop. This guy's not a good cop. He should not be a cop. There should never be a cop that does what this guy did. End of story. And the three other cops that didn't do the right thing by throwing him off and using their training to subdue this individual, get a medical attention, do what needed to be done to effect arrest. No excuse for them either. However, that being said, it still all comes down to what the prosecution can prove based on what they charge them. That's what we said.
Paul Violas is our guest. He's head of the Violas Group International, motivational speaker. He does TV, he does radio. Paul, you and I, and I'm sure you've been asked the same question I have, or the same comments been given to you, which is, and I'm going to make a point here, they say your job is so easy. All you have to do is talk. And I always say, listen, that's a long time without anybody talking on a radio show. And, you know, so my point in bringing that out is that if you put something on for over 9 minutes of a man kneeling, a law enforcement officer kneeling on someone's neck, and you show all 9 minutes of that, that's going to seem like a very long time. That 9 minutes eternity. Is going to seem very, very long. And so what effect will that have on the end result of this trial?
That's going to have a huge effect. There is no doubt about that, because the video is so egregious. And I don't care whether you are a trained law enforcement officer, an attorney or not, it doesn't make a difference. What this man did was excessive force. However, the counter is going to be won on the battle of the experts, Joel. And if they can come out and say, which apparently the defense has alluded to on the first day of arguments, that the autopsy did not show damage to the subject's neck, and if they could raise reasonable doubt that he died from anything other than this use of force, and they can't prove the case.
Well, it's going to be incredibly interesting, because, you know, I think that the prosecution was in a box either way. If they didn't include murder into the charges, they were going to be criticized. If they don't convict of murder, they're going to be criticized. Either way, Paul, I think that they were in a real box here.
There's no question about it. Everybody thought that they were walking in with a slam dunk. And I was saying from the beginning, absolutely not. You know, I will tell you, Joel, and it's funny you bring up the point about people looking to say, well, all you're doing is talking. I was a ripe new CO in charge of one of the nation's largest police training academies when Rodney King happened. And I was part of the police reformation process for 2 years after that. So speaking from experience, I completely understand where we are right now in this trial, and more so what's going to happen afterwards.
Yeah. Paul, great information. I'm afraid you're right, but great information. We'll see how this all plays out. We may give you another call to get more information, okay?
I look forward to that. Thanks, Joel.
Paul Violas, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find his work, go to info@violas.com. You're going to find a really great career there.